Over a year ago, I invited Paul Chitwood from the IMB to be with us today. And man, I'm so glad we did, because it's an incredible thing to hear about the activity of God around the world. But on Monday, I woke up, I feel like the Lord woke me up and basically said, hey, call Paul and ask him if you can have half of his time. Because not only do we need to hear about the activity of God around the world, I felt led to share with you about the activity of God in our own backyard. And so today, joining me on the stage are five people who are sitting right where you were last week. And these people have experienced God in a real way, and I wanted just to take a moment for you to hear their story and hear how God has really impacted their life over the last few weeks. And so, you know, people have been asking me, you know, what's been happening at First Cleveland? And it's really hard to explain this. People saying, what's the secret? What's the secret to success? And my response is very simple. The Holy Spirit is real. Amen. The Holy Spirit is real, and the Holy Spirit works and moves in such a way where you cannot schedule the Holy Spirit. You can invite the Holy Spirit, but you can't schedule him. But when he decides to show up, he makes himself very, very well known. And I believe what we're experiencing in this season is 100% God. I can tell you right now, no one on this stage is going to take credit or try to receive the glory for what God has done. You know, it's an incredible thing. You just saw that video, 150 people over the last 8 weeks. In the last three Sundays, not including today, we've seen 50 people baptized in this room who were not scheduled to be baptized. And this morning, I've lost count. I think it's like 24, 25, higher, 26. I'm getting higher. It's a lot of people that have been baptized already today. And you know what we're experiencing right now? It's all God, but it started. It started somewhere. God's been moving here for a long time, but 3 weeks ago, something happened. And it happened with this lady on my right, on your left. As we extended the invitation, no one responded until the very last verse of the song. And then finally, I see this young lady stand up right here. And she stood up and she walked around with tears in her eyes. She grabbed me by the hand. She said, I need to go all in with Jesus. I need to go all in with Jesus. And she said, but I don't really want today to be my day. I was like, what do you mean you don't want today to be my day? She said, I'm not ready for this. I didn't prepare for this, but God's telling me to go, but I'm not ready. And when she explained what that meant, she said, I haven't even shaved my legs, right? And so that's when you know God is moving, when you go forward and God's doing something in your heart and you get baptized with hairy legs. And so we're glad that God moved in your life.
Hopefully nobody had to see that.
No.
It's dark enough over there.
Hey, but take us back 3 weeks ago, because God really started something with your obedience. Because as soon as you stood up, it's like they stood up over here and stood up over here. And it was like a snowball effect of the Holy Spirit, and he's been working ever since.
Yeah, and I had no idea when I was back there what was even going on. That morning, you had spoke on Acts about idols, and I've done that a lot in my life, put other things in front of God, and it seems like we've been here for 10 years and at this church, and I've had one foot in the door and one out. I never really went all the way in. Was baptized as a 7-year-old child, just didn't know what I was doing then, but I strayed away. I made a lot of bad decisions in my life until we started coming to church here. And I knew I needed to be baptized. Easter service, you had asked at the end, you said there's one more person here, and I knew it was me, but I was scared and did not want to get in front of people because I have anxiety, and I'm not even going to look out at the crowd because this is not my forte. This is just not it. And I knew that morning I was just scared, so I told God no. Missed out on a huge blessing by doing that. But that morning, 3 weeks ago, I said yes. I walked out of that aisle, shaking my head. I'm like, Lord, why right now? But came forward. The song that was JoJo Collins was singing also, you know, I had lived my life in bars and lived the party life. And the song that he was singing that morning was Graves in a Gardens. And I'll just read some of the lines in that. says, I searched the world, but it wouldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Because the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. There's nothing better than you. And when he was singing to me that morning, after seeing him in all the bars, because I followed him around, when he sang that song that morning, and we were praising Jesus together, and it touched both of our hearts. And he walked up to me just a little bit ago, and I had no idea the work that God had done in his heart with that song too. His story is absolutely amazing. That's another story, but oh my goodness, when he told me that, I used to walk in this church and I didn't feel worthy, and that's what he said a little while ago. He said, I'm not worthy to sing on that stage with all those Christians. And that's how I felt walking in this church for 10 years. I'm not worthy. I'm not. But God says I am. And we need to get our stories out. And it's amazing what is happening by one step of faith, walking out of that aisle and putting myself back and letting Jesus, just being obedient to him, what that's led to. And now I've been able to see be baptized, and every single person, it's like it's all new. I mean, everyone is new. It's just amazing watching what's happening in this church now. And to think that we almost left because of anxiety. This church is big. We used to walk up in the loft, and I'd go in that side door, and I'd walk up and not see anybody and kind of put blinders on. But that would have never have happened. This would have happened if I would have just listened to my selfish desires and not put God first and been obedient to what he called that morning.
Now, listen,
one
that
step
story,
of obedience.
There's somebody out here that needed to hear that, because they've sung the song with you and said, I've searched the world and it couldn't fill me. And there's some people out here who have lived lives that they're ashamed of, and they've lived in sin, and they've pursued some things they shouldn't have pursued, and they know what it's like to be far from God, and you know what that's like.
Yeah.
And I wish we had time to hear your whole story, but there was a moment where God said, you know what, I can turn this grave into a garden.
Yes.
And you were obedient to go all in with Jesus, and as a result, here you are today. And God's used you and your courage in just an incredible way. Would you guys just thank her for sharing her story today? Thank you, Jamie. Well, some of you can relate with Jamie's story, but others say, I can't relate with that because I was born in a church, right? Some of you were born in a Sunday school class or something. I mean, you've been here your whole life. And you say, man, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've checked all the boxes. I've been religious. I've lived a journey where I've continually tried to become a better version of myself. And you could say amen to that. You can say, that's my story. And you know, that's Sharia's story as well. She had been that person in this church since 2006, 2007. And yet God did something in your heart last Sunday, sitting in one of these chairs, that no one else could do. Why don't you catch us up? Tell us your story real quick.
Like you said, I checked all the boxes. I was somebody who read the Bible through every year. I cannot tell you how many times I've read the Bible through. I prayed. I've done numerous jobs within the church. I've taught Sunday school, directed Vacation Bible School. I've gone on mission trips. I support missionaries. I've checked all the boxes except for my relationship with Jesus. And last Sunday, as the pastor was giving the sermon on Acts, the end of 18, beginning of 19, I knew the story. I knew about Apollos. I knew he had been baptized in the name of John and not in Jesus. And to go back to the fact that I had done all those things in the church, let me go back to my story of how I came forward. When I was a young child, I went forward in church, but the only reason I went forward was somebody else was going forward and I wasn't going to be left out. And when I got up to the front, the person just asked me a bunch of questions. I said yes to them, and they told me I was saved, and then I got wet. And then as a teenager, I started living with my foster parents that later became my adoptive parents, and through that, I realized that I had not done anything back then, and it scared me, and I didn't want to go to hell. So at that point, I wanted to avoid hell, but I still didn't want a relationship. I still wanted to hold on to things and control things. So then I would get involved. I checked all the boxes. I'm a rules follower. You give me a rule, I'm going to follow it. And so when I got through all those little things and the doubts would come in my head, I'd be like, but Lord, I've been able to teach this class. I've been able to do this, you know. And I couldn't do that if you didn't gift me, which is true. I couldn't do it. And then, excuse me, during that sermon, he said that Apollos had spoken eloquently and correctly. And I had spoken eloquently and correctly, but I'd never been baptized in Jesus. I did not have a relationship with Jesus. So I came forward and I got a hold of his dad and told him I've done everything backwards.
So you walked up to my dad and said, I've gotten everything backwards. And then they took you out in the hall and I walked up to my dad and I said, what'd she say? He said, she said she got everything backwards. I said, what does that mean? He goes, I have no idea what that means. Until we walked back and we had a chance to talk. And you said, man, I have done everything that I thought I was supposed to do, except for go all in with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I tell you what, I'm going to read a verse real quick out of Ephesians chapter 2. Because you know what? That's exactly what he's talking about in verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. He says, you are saved by grace. And then skip on to verse 8. He says, for you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. What he just said was, listen, you can try really, really hard to save yourself and you'll never be able to accomplish it. I forget the exact verse, but it's in 1 Timothy, I believe it's in chapter 2. It says, for you thought there was a way to save yourself, but that way ends in death. You thought that there was a way that you could save yourself, but in the end, its way is death. And you know what? There are so many people that are experiencing that today. And your story resonates with somebody because there's somebody here today that knows what it's like to say, Jesus, save me. I don't want to go to hell. But you didn't surrender to Jesus and go all in. There's somebody watching this today online that knows what it's like to surrender to God like this, saying, okay, God, I want you to save me because I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not willing to surrender all to you. I'm saying I'll be a good church person and try really hard and do all the things, but I'm not going to surrender my control. I want to control my life. I want to be the Lord of my life. I just want you to prevent me from going to hell. There's somebody that says, I trust you with everything except for my money and my stewardship. God, I don't want you to tell me how to spend my money and how to navigate my relationships and how to live my life. And we've still taken ownership of stuff that doesn't even belong to us. He says, for you are crucified with Christ. The old is gone, the new has come, and you are to live a new life in Christ that doesn't belong to you. And yet so many people surrender to Jesus like this. No, Jesus, I really do want you to save me. I just don't want you to tell me what to do. Well, according to the scriptures, that's not salvation. That's not how that works. You don't go halfway in with Jesus. He didn't come to be one of many gods in your life. He came to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And last week, he became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you guys just praise God for what he's done in Sheree's life? Let me ask you a question, and I want you to answer this seriously. Do you believe that anybody can get saved? Listen to me, there is no one so far from God, no one who has messed up so much, no one who has just been so far gone that God cannot rescue them and redeem them. And I say that as I sit next to my friend, my brother, Ezra. Ezra, I just want you to back us up to 1989 and tell us the Ezra that I never had the chance to meet.
Well, in 89,
right there.
Okay. In 89, I had to kind of grow up and be a man of the house because I was raised in Waukegan, Illinois, where my parents were on drugs and alcohol. So I had a little sister I had to take care of. So I had to get out here and survive the best way I knew how. And doing that, I became involved in drugs and the gang as a little boy trying to be a grown man in the world, right? So my experience with churches wasn't like most people. My experience with churches was going to the church so we can get food to eat. It wasn't going to hear the gospel. We was in the basement with people like you guys offering food for us. So as I just continued living life, I didn't get to know God until I went to juvenile. And I remember giving my life to God when I was like, you know, when you locked up, that's all you got is God. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna do it. But he was with me, but I wasn't with him the whole time. So I kept living life, messing up. Then I went to the state in 2002, got out in 2005, got back. The whole time I was in prison, I was going to church, doing what I was supposed to do for God, but still straddling the fence because I felt like I didn't want to go all in with God because I'm in prison. I'm gonna be soft. I gotta survive and handle myself in this prison situation. So I got out, stayed out 2 years, caught a federal gun case. They gave me 15 years, and this gonna sound crazy, but it's the truth. That was the best thing that happened to me because during that time, I got to sit and know nobody but me and God, nobody else. You know, all your people, when you're in situations, not even jail, just other situations, the people that you want to be there and count on, they're not there for you. But God never left me. So I told myself, when I get out, man, I'm through with this stuff. I'm through with this because it's caused so much pain and so much hurt. So I said, I'm tired. I've been doing this since I was 12 years old. Here I am, 44 years old, going through the same stuff. So when I got out, I said, I'm never leaving God behind. And I got in contact with my cousin, man. He was like, man, come to church. I'm like, yes. But he didn't know that I was so excited to come to church because one of my biggest fears was knowing the Lord in prison and couldn't get baptized. So as soon as I got up here, they did out the car. I probably was one of the first ones to shout up here because I knew then that I said, man, if I do not get a hold and get rooted in church, I'm gonna be doing the same thing because I've done that same thing for so many years. So it's easy to revert back to those same things, especially when you faced with adversity out here. You know, you do 13 years, you get out, you don't have anything. Then the world is so changed now where if you don't have good credit and all that stuff, these people ain't messing with you. So I'm like, oh man, I'm going through it. But when I came, got baptized, I was down here like 2.5 months searching for somewhere to stay because my family was in Illinois and we're trying to bring them down here. And I told the pastor, man, I said, man, I love this church, man, but I'm going to have to leave to go back to my family because I can't afford to stay down here and up there. He said, so what's the problem? I told him. He said, man, I said, don't nobody want to help me. He said, man, this is your family. God, you, what are you doing? Hey, listen, I had you somewhere to stay in a week. I've been right there, staying there, man. And since I went all in, I have struggled every day because I'm faced with this lifestyle that I was accustomed to. And you know, the devil, he brings all type of things to me to try to, because he know what I like. And I desire these things for so long. But I tell myself, man, it ain't worth it. At the end of the day, it ain't worth it. It's so easy to do the wrong thing. It's easy. It's easy to do the wrong thing. It's a given, but it's much better when you're doing the right thing. When the brother called me, I was laying in the hospital bed, warming sugar up. I didn't know I had sugar. He was like, Ezra, Pastor Jordan want you to come on the stage. I was like, oh, no. And then I thought about it, man. I said, man, I'm not getting on the stage, but God going to put me on the stage because he done so much for me. Why wouldn't I get up here?
Come on. Man, I wish we had time to unpack Ezrick's story. But when he went all in with Jesus, I mean, it was pretty much a sprint from this side of the room. You sprinted up here, said, I need to be baptized. I need to go all in. Frank's in the back. Frank baptized him. And let me just tell you, since that moment, God's done a mighty work in this guy's life. A mighty work. In fact, not only that, Ezrick, along with Frank and several people from our church, they are actually in the process of launching a jail ministry in four different jails where they're going to start worshiping with us on Sunday mornings. And I just think, how cool is it that God took you from a place? Come on, man. Look at me. Nobody is so far from God. No one is so lost that he can't change your life. You need to hear me today. God can do a work in your life today. You know, we've seen a lot of people give their life to Christ, a lot of people be baptized on the mountaintops where they're feeling it and they're, you know, they've got emotions and whatever. But we've also seen some people have to come face to face with the Lord in the valley. This couple to my left, your right, you probably don't know them because they're brand new to our church. But they were sitting in your chair last Sunday. And God did a work in this young lady's life. This is Stephen, this is Jessica. And God just wouldn't let you leave, Jessica. You tried really hard to leave last Sunday, but he didn't let you leave. Tell me that story. Is your microphone on? You, Stephens.
Is this one on?
Yeah.
I was saved and baptized when I was probably 7 years old, but I, at the time, did not know what it meant to go all in with God. I straight away got out of church, and me and my husband just kind of casually thought we would get back into church. We had found out we were pregnant. Life was going good, just the way I had planned it. I thought I was in control. And then we had a miscarriage, and it really shook us, and it was hard to keep the faith because you just don't understand. And I was here last Sunday listening to Jordan and the choir, and I just felt God calling me to go all in and to let him control my life. And I ignored it. I struggled with it the whole service. I ended up leaving. I made it all the way out to the car. We started the car to leave, and God was not going to let me leave until I got this right with him. So I came back in, got baptized, and just immediately felt peace that God was going to get us through. Even though it's hard and we're still going to struggle, he's going to be with us to get us through.
Man, that's awesome. So as God is working in your life, you got this husband that's with you in the car, and you're saying, we can't leave the parking lot. The car's running. Yes. You're going to have to share, I guess. Apparently, we don't know how to turn the air conditioner on or the microphones because it's 1,000 degrees up here.
It is warm.
But God's working in her heart, and she comes inside. You follow her.
Yes.
And at the time, you didn't even realize it, but God was doing a work in his heart as well. Tell us about that.
So, like she said, we'd gotten into the car, started the car, and I could tell, really I could tell the whole way out that something was working in Jessica. And, you know, we got in the car, started the car, and usually we would be at the point where I'd say, where you want to go eat? She'd say, I don't care. And then I would spend the next 10 minutes on the way into town trying to decide where she really wanted to eat. And we didn't do that. So she said, we need to get back inside, and I need to make some things right. So as we're walking back in, you know, God's just revealing to me that I was talking her through her decision. And he revealed to me that I've not been doing that, and I've not been the spiritual leader of my house that I've been called to be. And, you know, as we're walking back, I'm kind of thinking about that. And we find our way back into the hallway, and Boogie's there. And Boogie grabs us, says, hey, you guys look like you don't have a clue where you're going. And we said, well, we don't. So we explained to him what was going on, that she wanted to get baptized. And we start talking. He grabs you. We share with you about our miscarriage. And you kind of share that you walked that also. So Jessica went back and got ready for her baptism, and I continued to talk to you and to Boogie. And like I said, God was just working some things over me about being the spiritual leader of the house, and he kind of revealed to me too that You know, I got saved 17 years ago at Camp Cherokee. And at that time, like a couple other people have said, it was more for me a fire insurance policy. I got back from Camp Cherokee, and I got plugged into the church that I went with. There was a youth pastor there. There's a great guy. He's a great mentor. And he kind of talked to me about baptism. And, you know, I thought I knew what that meant. And I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do in my head, but not in my heart. And I got baptized a few weeks later at that church. And things were great for a while. And then that youth pastor answered a call to go to another church. And he left. And a short time after that, I started to slip away from the Lord. I started being, you know, my own boss, doing what I wanted to do. And back there in that hallway, I just thought, if my walk, if my faith was able to fall because of one man, one flesh man leaving my life, then whose name was I actually baptized in? Who was I following? And God revealed to me that I needed to get baptized too. And I told Boogie, and he said, well, we got to run, because you don't have much time. We got to get you in some shorts and a shirt and get you back out here. And that's what we did. And I had the honor and the privilege of being baptized with my wife.
Incredible. Go ahead. I met these guys in the hall literally 7 days ago. And she told me her story. And then as she was getting prepared to be baptized, I was talking to this guy, and you weren't wearing a red shirt, but you looked at me and kind of told me what God was doing in your heart. And then you asked me the question, you know, you think I should get baptized? And I said, no, I think you should do what God wants you to do. You should do what God tells you to do. You know, you obey God and you leave the results to Him. And then you walked away, I walked away, and that was the end of that. And next thing you know, I look over there and he's in that red shirt and he's standing next to his bride. And you obeyed the Lord in that moment. And I believe that God blesses obedience.
Yes.
I don't think He blesses disobedience.
He doesn't.
And so I look forward to seeing how He blesses you in the days to come. You know, you said for a long time, I said no to God. But starting today, I'm saying yes.
Yes.
And I believe when you put your yes on the table and you trust God with your life, that great things happen. In 7 days, your life has already changed and God's already started to do new things. Why don't you talk about that real quick?
So since we made that decision as a couple last week, God's really, He has worked in us. Like she said, we went through a miscarriage, and instead of turning our backs, we've actually gotten closer together, closer to the Lord. We've also, every single day, we've started praying together. We hadn't done that before, and we do it now because we want to do it, because it's on our hearts to do it, not because somebody said, hey, this is what you're supposed to do as a married couple. And God has really blessed us in our obedience, and sitting up here on the stage shows that blessing. You know, my prayer was that God would use our miscarriage to somehow impact somebody somewhere for something positive. And I had no idea what that looked like. And that was my prayer for a couple days. And last week I was sitting at work, and Jessica called me, and she was like, well, hey, First Baptist just called, and Jordan wants us to get up on stage, all three services, and tell our story. And I immediately said, well, I don't want to. But I knew that I'd prayed my prayer, and I thought, you know, how could there be a more clear answer to that prayer than what this is? And I knew that there's no way that we could say no. And since we made that decision, we came up here, just the last service alone. How can you not see the blessing? You know, something that I've said that anybody up here said that's impacted somebody to stand up there. I didn't think the line was going to stop. I thought everybody in here was going to get baptized. It's incredible.
It is incredible. And you know, it's weird how God chooses to use us as a part of His redemption plan for planet Earth. God doesn't need us, but He chooses to use us. And I just believe that God's going to use your story in somebody's life today. There's somebody out here, somebody watching this right now, they needed to hear your story, because they're in a valley right now and they're navigating that valley by themselves without the power of God. And you can give testimony to this and shout it from the mountaintops. You need the Lord, you need His power when you hit rock bottom. And without him, it's going to be tough. It's going to be impossible at the end of the day. You guys are experiencing that power. There's somebody that's heard Ezra's story, and you are far from God. And you're looking at this guy thinking, man, there's hope for me. For some reason, the Lord continues to pursue me. He hasn't given up on me, and he's been chasing me since day one. Some of y'all heard this story right here. You're thinking, man, if she can stand up in front of thousands of people with hairy legs and say, I'm going all in with Jesus, then I can. You know what it's like to look for satisfaction in the world. You know what it feels like to be in bar after bar looking for satisfaction, knowing in the depths of your heart that only Jesus can save and only Jesus can satisfy. And in the same way that she saw a grave turn into a garden, you know today that there's hope for you. And I believe there's a lot of people that connect with Sharia. And you don't have one of these radical stories of being far from God because you've been in church your whole life. Listen, Sharia's been a church lady for a long time. She's done all the things. She's taught all the classes. She's read the Bible more times through than I have. And last week, she met Jesus face to face. And he radically changed her from the inside out. Let me ask you a question. Have you gone all in with Jesus? Have you surrendered like this? Or have you surrendered like this? That's your story. And that's what we're talking about today. Listen, if you've surrendered like this, you've surrendered the wrong way. But today I want to give you the opportunity to surrender like this and go all in with Christ, and he will change you from the inside out. I don't care if you've been here 50 years or 50 minutes. God can do a work in your life that nobody else can do. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith, you will not please God. Which means you can't stay seated, you can't stay still, you can't stay stagnant if God is calling you to move forward. And what we've seen all day long, we've seen men and women, boys and girls, take steps of faith in the right direction. Let me tell you something, I am confident that when my heart stops beating, I've got a trajectory headed upward. Can you say the same thing today? I am confident. Can you say I'm 100% sure that I'm going to spend eternity with my Creator? I can. Can you? Let me tell you something. If you're 99% saved, you're 100% lost. Why would you live with a question mark next to your eternal destination when Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost? And go all in with Jesus.